Hey, this is Mike Wilmot with Microsoft, and I want to talk very briefly today about always-on availability groups. I'm going to kind of rush through these slides because I want to have a quick, succinct presentation. A lot of it you can either research on the web, or you can kind of slow things down in this presentation and review it that way. But I do want to get through this quickly and get through some demos as well. I want to talk today about this new concept of always-on availability groups as well as active secondaries. And these are principles that are baked into the always-on experience. If you look back at Microsoft's presence in this space, we've done a lot of different technologies in the HADR, the High Availability Disaster Recovery. And if you look at some of those technologies, we've had things like database mirroring, log shipping, replication, clustering. Now we've come up with this new concept of always on availability groups and failover cluster instances. That's kind of been the progression of Microsoft in terms of the space. And some of the goals in always on were things like simplicity, ease of deployment, reuse of your hardware infrastructure, having the ability to have storage area networks and direct attached storage be part and parcel of this, and then be very cost effective and efficient. There's two types of always-on solutions. There's the things that we've always known and loved in terms of failover clusters, and that's not changing. If you want to do things like multi-site clustering, or if you have things like consolidation scenarios that you want to implement, but availability groups is a new concept in SQL Server 2012 that allows you to have multiple databases in a failover group. You can have multiple secondaries, active secondaries. Integrated management, you can cross subnets, there's storage support like we talked about, DAS and NAS, as well as you can have more predictability in terms of your recovery time and your flexible failover policy. If there's one slide to kind of take away from this whole thing, it's this slide here where you can see flexibility, integration, and efficiency, and especially around availability groups. Having the ability to have multiple databases, you can have a total of four secondaries. You can have synchronous and asynchronous data movement. You also get things like built-in compression, page repair. You get to nuance the failover policy through a Windows cluster, as well as you can have things like virtual names that abstract out your entire always-on availability group. You have nice configurations and dashboards and system center monitoring and diagnostics. And you can also run it on things like Windows Server Core. A really super important point here too is that you can have active secondaries for both read workloads as well as backups. So this is a good slide to study for later. If you look at kind of traditionally how we've done HADR, we've leveraged things like database mirroring, log shipping, database mirroring for the high availability and log shipping for the disaster recovery. So that's been a good strategy till now, but with the new kind of the new topology, what we're going to be able to do is to have, say, two servers in a failover pair here, as well as be able to do synchronous movement and or asynchronous movement, and as well do reporting and backups off those. You can also combine topologies. So if you wanted to add, say, a failover cluster instance as well as an availability group, you could do that as well. And I'll show an example of that in a second. Windows Server failover clusters are at the heart of this, so you have to have a Windows failover cluster to leverage always-on availability groups. The Windows cluster is going to do all the things like check the health, coordinate failover, as well it's going to leverage Active Directory for the node name that abstracts out the node. And speaking of the way that these resources coordinate, if I look at this time series here, what you're going to see is that the listener here, the in the yellow, that's actually going to fail over. When it fails over, it's going to fail over and point to server B. So all the kind of movement, the way that it abstracts out the listener from the actual instances that are running these nodes in the availability groups, all that stuff is going to be abstracted away from you, the user, so that it's all managed and taken care of. This is also an example of kind of combining HA technologies where you've got a failover cluster instance here in red. You've also got another second failover cluster instance in blue. Some are active, some are passive in terms of these nodes. But then on top of that, you can leverage an always-on availability group to do replication between those failover cluster instances. So again, lots of stuff to study. I wanted to kind of rush through it just to give you a really, really brief intro to it. You can also do things like, if you in terms of the backup strategy, there's some nice options in terms of the backups as well. And I'll show you that in one. You can also nuance the failover policy. So there's different levels of failover conditions that you can run in always-on availability groups, as well as you can designate certain workloads based on the intent of the application. So if you have a read-only workload, you can say, I want to direct those workloads to a secondary server in my topology. As far as backups go for always-on, you can do backups on any replica. They can be synchronous or asynchronous. And you can also do the backups on the primary replica. A nice part about this, too, is that log chain backups form a single log. So if we look at this next slide, you can see that LSNs 1 through 10 are done on replica 1, 11 through 20 on 2, and then 21 through 30, and then 31 through 40 are getting done on separate replicas. Those form a single log chain, and those can be all restored to create a single backup. So that's just the quick slide deck I wanted to go through. Now let's go through and look at the actual availability group and do a quick demo. Let's go over to our Hyper-V manager here and look at the different servers that we have running. So in this case, we've got a domain controller and three different SQL servers running. Those three SQL servers are actually going to be part of our cluster, and the domain controller is going to house the Active Directory information for our listener for the entire cluster. So let's go to SQL 1 here, and what we're going to do with SQL 1 is we're going to look at it in the context of the fact that it's kind of going to be the lead server in our crew here. So we're going to focus on that single SQL server. We're also going to look at the cluster manager that's part and parcel of that server. So here's the server 1. I'll go ahead and expand it a bit. And we've also got our cluster manager running on here. So you can see that we've got those three Hyper-V servers. We've got servers 1, servers 2, and servers 3. And those servers are all in a Windows cluster. They also have resources that are attached to them, and we'll see that as we go ahead. We've also got an Active Directory server, a domain controller actually here. And if we double click on our domain controller, we're going to see that in the computer section of Active Directory, it's actually got different listeners listed. So that's actually going to function as the listener for our always-on availability group, and we'll talk about that in a second. So let's go back now to our SQL Server, and our SQL Server is going to be, again, our principal server here. So we'll go back to SQL Server 1. Again, all these three are in a cluster together. So let's go to SQL Server 1. What we're going to do on SQL Server 1 is we're going to create an availability group with the SQL Server Management Studio here. So let's go ahead and connect to our three different servers. We've got, again, 1, 2, and 3. And we'll also have this concept of a listener that we'll talk about in a second. So the listener is going to actually point to the active node of your always-on availability group. So let's go ahead and connect to 2 and 3. Hit this drop down here. Three. So now we'll be able to see kind of all the details of these three servers. What I want to do is create an availability group, and I want to do that on server starting from server 1. So let's go here. Let's look at our AdventureWorks database. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a quick backup of this. You have to take a backup of your database so that you can run always on availability groups. So let's go ahead and save this out to a shared directory here. Now that it's backed up and that shared directory needs to be accessible by all three machines, now what we can do is add this to an always on availability group. So you see here that you've got this always on availability group here. And let's go through this wizard and create one. So again, we've got three different nodes. So let's call this always on one. Go ahead next. And this, we can add actually multiple databases to our availability group if we want. So let's go ahead and add those two databases. And we can also add replicas. So we've got servers 2 and 3. So let's go ahead and add server 2. And we're also going to add server 3. So go ahead and do that. Now you can see that the primary role, they can be in primary or secondary. You can have items in automatic failover pairs. You can also do synchronous or asynchronous commits. And you can say if the secondary is readable or not. So I'm going to say yes to these. And you also notice that there's a read intent only. And read intent, again, is allowing you to have servers that are marked specifically for read or not. The HTTP endpoints are here. You can kind of also designate how you want to do backups if you want, and the priority of those. And then also you can designate a listener. So if you want to create a listener, you just come in here and say listener, I'll call it listener one. So I've added all the information in for this listener here. I've added an IP address, and I've also added kind of some of the configuration properties here. So at this point, we've got a listener configured, we've got a replicas configured, we've got any information here configured. Now we can just hit next, and we can also say where we want to do our synchronization preference, if we want to do a full backup, a join only, or skip initial data synchronization. So we're going to do the full deal so that we can get everything kind of set up. We also want to make sure this check runs, and if that does, that's great. Then this gives us kind of a summary. You can also look at a script of kind of what's going to be done here. And if you wanted to, you could run this script versus running the UI. We're going to just go ahead and run and hit finish on this. So when we hit finish on this, this is going to run through all the checks and actually run through the configuration, make sure that the listener is going to be able to be online. So again, we've got listener one. If this works, then we're going to have an entry in Active Directory that we'll be able to leverage here soon. Okay, so now we've gone through that process. It's done all these different checks. If we were really top-notch, we would be worrying about the Windows cluster quorum configuration. I'm not going to worry about that today just because of lack of time, and it's a deeper conversation in terms of how you set that up. But it looks like it was successful, so let's go ahead and continue. We'll just run through these checks and make sure everything looks good. Hit close on this. Now the good news is that we've got an availability group set up here. So we've created an always-on availability group called always-on-1, and we've also can now connect to our different SQL servers and verify that that's true. So let's go to 2 and 3. Let's look at our always-on group, and lo and behold, here's our always-on availability group. We've got these things called replicas. Now replicas are just the SQL servers in the availability group. You can see these, and you can kind of see which ones are the primary and which are secondaries. You can also see which databases are part of your availability group, so that's nice. Also, if we go back to our cluster manager, we can see now that we've got this always on one service online, which is great. And we can look at the further at always on one and see that we've got this listener here. If we wanted to do a little more investigation about the listener, we could do that. So we could go to our domain controller, hit refresh on the computers here, and then you'll see that listener one is now part of the mix. You could also do things like you could take the always on availability group off and online here through these through this channel. We won't do that today, but it's possible to do simulate failover and that and those types of things. So again, lots of good information in this cluster manager. And we're going to go back to our SQL Server now. Another nice part about this is that we created the listener now, so we can connect to the listener as if it was a database instance. If I do that, it's actually going to point to the principal node here. So since this node here is primary, what we want to do here is just to verify that, and what we're going to do is create a new query here, kind of hover over this to show that it's actually the listener. And let's go to this, look at the server name, go ahead and hit run on this, and it should point to the first cluster node. One thing to also be aware of too, if you're setting up always on, you want to make sure that that you go into your configuration manager for SQL Server and that you enable that that service for all your different SQL Server nodes. So if you go to properties here, there's an always on availability. This has to be checked for your configuration to work. So that's just a good gotcha that you might spend a lot of time on that if you don't know. And so also there's for this always on availability group, we've got a nice ability to do things like add databases, listeners. There's also the ability to do things like failover, or we can just show the dashboard here too. So this dashboard gives you kind of a rich reporting infrastructure to see how your always on availability group's doing, if you've got data loss, and you can kind of look at the status of things. We can also do something here too where we just fail over, and we can fail over this whole infrastructure, and we can say which node that we want to take over. So if I want to do that, you're going to see that there's a little bit of data loss here because it's not synchronous. But let's go ahead and connect to this, and we're going to fail this thing over. When we fail it over, what's going to be nice about this failover is that we're going to be able to see that the listener is still going to be pointing to the correct database, the correct node, essentially. So as this goes ahead and finishes, now we're going to see that always on the server 2 is now going to be the primary. And we can also verify that by we had this script. If we run this script and execute it, it's going to change from SQL 1 to SQL 2. So it's going to kind of have this initial challenge here finding it, and it's going to find it because it's kind of reroute the thinking to server 2. So that shows you that it does in fact work. We can also do a failover from the cluster manager. So you see here that node 2 is actually currently in charge of this. If we wanted to, we could just take this always on 1 and we could move this service to best possible, or we could just move it back to node 1. So let's go ahead, move it back from 2 to 1 here. And as this happens, then node 1 is going to take over the always on cluster. It's actually pending right now and it's online. So as we go back into SQL Server, then we should be able to execute this query. And again, we get that initial transport error, and then you can see that EMU SQL 1 is now in charge. The last thing I want to show you is an application that we've got here that I've got a query string that's going to run against the listener. So we're pointing to the listener, and it's going against this EventureWorks database. So we're going to run this load. As we run this load, you'll see that it's connected to EMU SQL 1. Now what's going to happen here is if we come into our availability group, I'm going to fail this over. What we're going to do is fail it over. As we fail it over, our application will kind of miss a couple beats, and we're going to fail over to 2 here. So let's go ahead and do this failover. Hit next, connect to it like we did last time. And so what's going to happen is our application is going to fail over as with time to node 2. So let's go ahead and finish failing this over. It's going to fail over to 2. And as it does that, our application should keep running, and then you're going to see that it's actually going to fail over. So you can see now that it's automatically failed over to node 2. And so always on worked fine. So. And what I'll do now is just I'll fail it back to node 1. So let's go ahead and fail this over, run through the wizard. And again, we should see it failing back gracefully over to 1, and that should end our demo here. So as this is running, you should see the application retrying, and eventually as always on does its thing, this application will again resume and connect back to 1. So let's go ahead and acknowledge this. You can see it resumed the load, and it's going to be connected back to SQL 1. So again, I appreciate your time today. Hopefully we've talked a little bit about availability groups versus failover cluster instances. We talked about all the different advantages that you get in these availability groups. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me at mikewilm@microsoft.com. Hopefully this has made availability groups in SQL Server 2012 more accessible to you. Have a great day, and I'll talk soon.